Today's Pentecost Sunday, May the 23rd, 2021. If you would, please take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 2. I posted an article on my blog yesterday called Pentecost, The Beginning. It's available if you would like to read that. The website is confidenceandjoy.com. And if you were here last week, we were talking about, when we were reading in Acts 17, how the long-awaited Messiah had finally arrived. And Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, fulfilled all that was required for mankind's redemption and salvation. And then he willingly gave his life. He died as a ransom, as a payment for all of our sins. And then he was dead 3 days and three nights, and then God raised him from the dead. And in his resurrected body, he walked the face of the earth for 40 days, doing miracles and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then they watched him. He ascended up into heaven. 8 days after that came the day of Pentecost. We call it the day of Pentecost, or the day of Pentecost. It is the day of Pentecost that's recorded in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look a little bit at that. I also mentioned last week that in the Old Testament, the bloodline from Abraham, they were God's people by God's choice, his decision. He decided that they would be his people. He said, "I am your God." And that was his decision. But since Pentecost, this day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there has been by God a new arrangement. God made a major change in the way he was going to deal with, interact with human beings. Anyone, since this day of Pentecost, anyone from any family, bloodline, anyone from any country, any background, rich, poor, black, white, doesn't matter. Anyone can confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that they are saved. They are born again. And for those people who do that, God said he is now their God. And we looked a little bit about that last week. And so in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, been waiting a long time for this day, they, the 12 apostles, the 11 plus Matthias, were all with one accord in one place. And of course, as we read on, we know that place was the temple. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is the first occurrence ever of people speaking in tongues or speaking in languages. So all 12 of them did. They began speaking in tongues. And verse 5 says, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. One of the required feasts was Pentecost. So you got people from all over that are there in Jerusalem. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. That was the great miracle of Pentecost. The miracle was not that they spoke in tongues, a language they didn't know, but the miracle was that people understood what they were saying. And they were, verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How in the world? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were just blown away. And they were all amazed, these Galileans. And were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? What is going on here? Others, there's always others around, aren't they? Always has been, always will be. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They're a bunch of drunkards. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk, you goof. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he's quoting now from the book of Joel in chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. First, Peter told them, you know, they're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Peter began to tell them that this is what Joel had prophesied. The 12 were manifesting Holy Spirit. And then I'm sure you're familiar with this record in Acts. Peter went on to teach. And the bulk of his teaching was that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. You know, in reading the church epistles and some of the records in the book of Acts, we can see that those who get born again, they receive the gift of eternal life. The Bible says that eternal life is a gift. They also receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a gift. And receiving that gift, what also comes with that is the ability to operate the gift. People who get born again, the Bible says they become righteous in the sight of God. They become a child of God. They become a member, we talked about this last week, a member of the one body with Christ as the head. And they are part of the church of God. We looked at that last week. It's God's church, right? The Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, by his choice, he is now our God. All of this and a whole lot more, including the hope of Christ's return when he comes back. And all of that began on this day that we're reading about. This was when it all started. But the awareness and the understanding of all that God instituted and began that day, and then living it, believing it, and living it, it took some time for them to gain an understanding of all that God just ushered in that day. For a lot of Christians, it's still taking some time to get the full understanding. But we ought to keep in mind that the Judeans, those of the Jewish background, bloodline from Abraham, if you will, in the first century, it was really difficult for some to accept that after hundreds of years of knowing that you are God's chosen people, all the way back to Abraham, God picked us. You know, that's why it's called the chosen people. Because God's the one that said, you will be my people, starting with Abraham. And God made promises and covenants to Abraham and to his line after him. And so for hundreds of years, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, all the way back, we were God's chosen people. And knowing that, now you're saying that anyone and everyone gets to have God as their God? What happened to bloodline? It would be like if we got up tomorrow morning and on the news it said there's a whole new situation. Any person on the face of the earth, no matter where they live, are now a full-fledged American citizen. We go, what? Yep, they have all the rights that American citizens have. They can vote, they can own land, they can hold public office. We wouldn't go, well, that's nice. We go, whoa, wait a second. I'm a citizen. I was born here. Telling me that somebody in a country I don't even know the name of can vote? So I, kind of a silly illustration, but trying to make the point. But with that in mind, we're going to go over to Acts chapter 10 and look at this wonderful record this morning in Acts chapter 10. Verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Centurions were in charge of 100 soldiers. He's a Gentile, not of Israel. But God says in verse 2, he was a devout man, one that feared or reverenced God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. He was a giver and prayed to God always. Wow, isn't that amazing? He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. God is answering your prayers. Now, verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Wonder what Cornelius was praying. Wanted some answers. Wanted to know. And just prayed and asked God. Isn't that something? There are people who pray, God, I want to know. And so God sent an angel in an answer to prayer for him. Isn't that awesome? And said, send people. I think Joppa was like 30, 35 miles away. Send men to Joppa and have this guy by the name of Peter come down and talk to you. Verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, right around noon. Now, their roofs weren't like pointed like ours. They had flat roofs, and many times they would go up there, especially in the evening. It was a nice place to pray away from everybody. So around noontime, Peter's going up on top of the housetop to pray. And he became very hungry. It was lunchtime. And would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Ooh. The word trance in our culture is sort of like, ooh, getting mysterious here. The word trance is also translated astonished, astonishment, amazed, amazement. In fact, if you're familiar with the record in Acts 3, the man that was born lame and got healed, it says in that record that the people were filled with wonder and amazement. Same word. It means amazed. You ever been amazed at something? That's amazing. It's the same word. It means amazement. And as we read on here, we'll see that it was a vision that God gave to him that caused or brought on this amazement. And here's the vision. Imagine being up there praying. Doesn't say what he was praying about. And then all of a sudden, God is going to show him this vision. He saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. This giant sheet comes down, wherein were all manner of four-foot beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, oh, not me. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I keep those dietary laws of the Old Testament down to the T. I've never done that. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times. Rise, Peter, kill me. No, what God has cleansed, don't you dare call common. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Boy, look at God's timing. And they called at the gate. You know, they didn't knock on the door back then. There'd be a gate. They would call at the gate. Hello? And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, and that means God talked to him by revelation. God said, behold, three men seek thee. Boy, this is a great security system, isn't it? You'll be sitting in your house and God just goes, there's three guys at the door. Here's what they want. Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Well, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? Why are you here? I'm the guy. They said, well, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter is going to take six other believers with him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius, you know, he's texting away, calling people. Look, you got to come over. Your friends, family, everybody, you got to come over. Just come over. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him, showed him great, you know, reverence. I mean, you know, Cornelius had an angel say, go get this guy by the name of Peter. He's going to tell you the words you need to hear. So when he walks in, you know, Cornelius is just showing all this reverence. But Peter took him up, saying, kiss my ring.
That's a joke.
Well, what did he say? He took him up and said, stand up. I myself also am a man. Peter understood who his Lord was. Remember we talked about that last week? Jesus Christ is head of the body. He's the one that's to have the preeminence. Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. This is really interesting because obviously Peter, especially taking six people with him, is trying to understand the vision, and now God said to him, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean? Common or unclean. And he said, you know, it's not right for somebody that's a Judean to go into a Gentile's house. And it isn't according to the Old Testament law. You don't go into a Gentile's house. You become unclean. You don't touch them. So, and this record is quite some time after the day of Pentecost. It took them some time to figure out that God's plan was open to everybody. But God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, well, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that you're come. Look at this. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God.
Wow.
We're all here waiting to hear what God has to say.
Wow.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And he's not. That's why the new birth is available to anyone. Any background, any family, race doesn't matter. Status doesn't matter. But in every nation, verse 35, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And just like on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached, he taught them that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. So he's preaching that Jesus is Lord. That word I say, verse 37, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus Christ, is the one who was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. It's by believing. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. How did they know it was poured out? How did they know they received it? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They were blown out. Holy cow, look at this. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. These people were waiting to hear the word of God. And Peter taught them about Jesus Christ being Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And then, obviously, from what we just read, they received the gift of Holy Spirit and manifested it. One of the manifestations is, of course, speaking in tongues. Now, we'll come back here, but back up to Acts chapter 2. When Peter preached on that day of Pentecost, towards the end of what's recorded of his preaching, in verse 38, Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. After he had taught them that Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead, now it's time for you to repent. Repent means change your mind about Jesus Christ. He's Lord and God raised him from the dead. For the promise, what promise? The promise of the gift of Holy Spirit is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So you have to have the gift of Holy Spirit in order to operate, right? Like this pen. I can't write unless I have the pen, right? In order for them to manifest the gift of Holy Spirit, they had to have the gift of Holy Spirit. So on that day of Pentecost here in Acts chapter 2, Peter was explaining to the people what was going on. And then all the people, you know, they heard the 12 speaking in tongues. And here in verse 38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit too. Cool. Back in Acts 10 now, let's go back to this in Acts chapter 10. Those people spoke in tongues. They obviously believed what Peter was teaching, that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Everything Peter shared is not recorded, but it's obvious these people received the gift of Holy Spirit and then began manifesting it. So, obvious question comes up. If they were indeed born again, if they did indeed receive Holy Spirit, and then if they indeed manifested it by speaking in tongues, what good is water going to do? Going to give you more spirit? Peter, as we noticed here, I mean, those guys, they were stunned, right? These Gentiles were doing what the 11 and Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Gentiles. And so in seeing that, Peter's like, somebody grab some water. We got to water baptize. But then again, water is not going to give you more spirit. Now, here's the thing. If this was the only record in the Bible about this specific event, you might go, well, maybe he water baptized him, right? But one of the keys to how all Scripture interprets itself is called Scripture buildup. For those of you that have had the Walking God's Power foundational class, we all get this little card that has the keys as to how all Scripture interprets itself. And in the class, there's a nice section where he goes through these keys to how all Scripture interprets itself. Scripture buildup: not everything concerning one topic may be written in one record. The God-given revelation in the Bible was divinely designed to be put together, even if it was given at different times. And we'll see that sometimes when you read secular books, right? Oh, you get a little more information about it, right? It adds to it. It's nice to have this little card, right? It's nice to know these keys. Much better to utilize them. You know, when we're reading the Bible and we're like, gee, I'm not, what is this? Well, you're using the keys to how it interprets itself? Very valuable information. So, let's just keep reading. Look at this, the apostles, chapter 11, verse 1. The apostles and brethren that were in Judea, when they heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. You would have thought they would have rejoiced with him. Really? The Gentiles? Oh, no. They were concerned. You know what they were concerned about? Saying, verse 3, you went into men uncircumcised and you ate with them. We don't do that. You see, at this point, whosoever, open to everybody, took them a while to get there. So now they're kind of calling him on the carpet. No wonder he took six guys with him for witnesses. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. It's like, let me tell you what happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. Again, that's that word amazement. Reverend Cummins translates the first part of that verse 5 as, I was praying in the city of Joppa and saw with amazement a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Oh, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, that call not common. That call not thou common. And this was done three times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea to me. And the Spirit bade me go with them. God said, go with them. Ooh, I like that. You went into Gentile's house and ate with them. God told me to go there. End of story. doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that just awesome? The beginning. That's what Peter referred to the day of Pentecost. The beginning. The beginning when it started. The day of Pentecost was the beginning. The 12 on that day spoke in tongues. And now Gentiles are speaking in tongues. Remember back in Acts 10, we saw that they were astonished that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And then Peter said, somebody get some water. We need to baptize these people with water. Well, look at the next verse. Very important. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Oh. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who or what was I that I could withstand God? It was the word. Then remembered I the word, God's word, because Jesus Christ always spoke what God wanted him to speak. Jesus Christ spoke God's word. As a matter of fact, what Peter's talking about was one of the last things Jesus Christ spoke before he ascended. And it was those words that Peter remembered that caused him to realize was not necessary. And so by scripture buildup, he didn't water baptize them. Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. It's taking a while to get it, isn't it? Let's go to Acts chapter 1 to see those words that Jesus Christ spoke. In Acts 1, it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, doing signs, miracles, and wonders, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Those are the words Peter remembered right before he left. You know, they were so stunned. These Gentiles are speaking in tongues. Somebody get water. And then Peter's like, wait a second. Jesus Christ mentioned the coming of the Holy Spirit many times. In fact, several times during the Last Supper. In fact, on the first resurrection appearance to the disciples, he mentioned it. And here again, he's mentioning it. Keep your finger here. Go to Luke 24. There's a number of them, but we'll just look at this one in Luke 24. Luke 24, 49. Jesus Christ said, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Power from on high. Promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Back to Acts chapter 2. Again, we've read a couple of these verses, but this is part of Peter's sermon. They knew about the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. They knew about it. Jesus Christ taught them about it on a number of occasions. They knew Holy Spirit was coming. They knew it was promised. And in Acts 2:37, after Peter spoke a lot of really great things, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Go to church every Sunday. What's the matter with you? And never miss. Pray on your knees for an hour a day if you want to be right with God. Stop cussing." They said, "What should we do?" Because he really gave them some fantastic information. And I hope maybe today or tomorrow or sometime this week, read all of what he shared. Peter said unto them, "Repent, change your mind, and be baptized every one of you in," not water, "but in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Remember Acts 1, back up, let's look at it again. Acts 1:4. "Being assembled together with them, Jesus Christ commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, 'You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence.' When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, 'Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Is it the end times?'" People ask that a lot too. Jesus Christ said, "Look, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." But let's get back to what I was saying. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Perhaps they didn't see this as being available to everyone. Maybe they thought just the Jews in the uttermost part of the earth, but certainly maybe not Gentiles. And in Acts 2:38 that we've read, Peter said unto them, Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you." Oh, the people he's talking to? Okay. "To your children?" Oh, that's cool. "And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Maybe they thought it was just the Jews that were far off. Took them a while to get it. But then, as you know, because of what we've read this morning, sometime later, God gave Peter quite a vision, an amazing vision. And then revelation to go to Cornelius's house, and Gentiles manifested Holy Spirit. There are other occurrences in the book of Acts of people receiving and manifesting Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul was given so much revelation to write all about this new arrangement that God had put in motion starting on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Specific information that God gave Paul to write. Specific details about what's available now today for every person who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead. We're going to close in 2 Peter, but on the way, we'll take two quick stops. First in Galatians chapter 3. What a great day, that first day of Pentecost. In Galatians 3, it says in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith or believing. And that's how a person receives Holy Spirit. They believe. Jesus Christ is Lord. God raised him from the dead. Boom, you've got it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, Ephesians 1:13, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word." First, you got to hear the word, right? "After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed." It's not enough just to hear God's word. and go, wow, that was nice. Glad you shared. First, we hear the word of God. After that, you believed. Then, look, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Got it. Can't lose it. We're closing in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. Last chapter of 2 Peter, verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. We're in 3:15 of 2 Peter. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. This man Peter, who heard Jesus Christ on a number of occasions speak about the coming of the Holy Spirit, this man Peter, who was there on the day of Pentecost, one of the first who ever spoke in tongues. This man Peter, who referred to the day of Pentecost as the beginning. This same man who went to the Gentiles and got to see Gentiles, the first Gentiles recorded to manifest Holy Spirit. This wonderful man, shortly before he died, you can read in chapter 1 where he said he's about to die. Shortly before he died, God gave him revelation to write this second epistle. And what is he directing the believers to? The words written by Paul. It is just amazing. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I'd like to read those verses 16 to 18 from Reverend Cummins' Working Translation. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them concerning these things. In them some things are hard to be understood, which the unlearned and unstable twist around, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, unto their own destruction. Yeah, it's like, you know. Got a problem with this, they're going to have a problem with that. It just, you therefore, beloved, since you have foreknown these things, watch, so that you're not led astray by the delusion of the lawless ones and fall from your own steadfastness. Instead, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and unto the day of the age. Amen. And of course, the scriptures that Paul wrote are the seven church epistles. He also wrote Timothy, Titus, Philemon, maybe Hebrews. But the seven church epistles, my goodness. The seven church epistles. As we read Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, you know what those are. It is in the seven church epistles that we find out who we really are. Got an identity problem? Open the book. See who God says you are. The church epistles show us who we are, what we have, what we can do, what God will do for us, not only as his children, but as our God Almighty. In the Old Testament times, we talked about this last week. Those that were from the bloodline, God said, I will be your God. And when those people in the Old Testament that were of the bloodline of Abraham, when they truly believed that God Almighty, the Creator, was their God, and when they trusted him, worshiped him and not idols, believed the words that he had written to them, God took mighty good care of them. Mighty, mighty good care of them. Today, every born-again believer belongs to the church of God. It's God's church. We are God's people. And in order to understand, believe, and live the life that God now has provided for us, his children, his people. In order for us to take advantage of all the rights, the privileges, the abilities that we have. That's why we read the scriptures, study the scriptures, to gain an understanding of the scriptures and especially the material that's in the seven church epistles. That's one of the reasons I recorded the seven church epistles a long time ago, had them on CDs. I think you can still get them on digital. But the seven church epistles. You know something about the seven church epistles? The books in the Bible, in different places, the order of some of the books are different. You know, this book's over here, this book's over here. Except the seven church epistles. They have never changed in their order through the centuries. It's always Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. Always, never changed. And as you look at them, it's doctrine, reproof, correction. Romans is doctrine. Corinthians is reproof. Galatians, thank you. Galatians is reproof, or correction rather. Then Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians is doctrine, reproof, corrections. Thessalonians needs no reproof or correction. But God laid out those epistles that way, and they're just gorgeous. That's, I say sometimes, that's our mail. You ever get junk mail? Look at this one. Oh, this is to you and me. Dear children, this is what I had written to you. And of course, all of the Bible is God's word, but the seven church epistles specifically has your name on it. How blessed we are. That wonderful day of Pentecost brought a major, major change. Pentecost truly was the beginning. Let's pray. Almighty God, our wonderful, loving God and Father, how blessed we are to have a Bible, to have your written words so accessible to us that we could at any time read what you've had written to us. And especially, Father, that section that is specifically to the church, your church. Thank you for all the work that Jesus Christ did for us. We could not have ever earned or certainly don't deserve all that you've made available to us. Thank you, Father, as we remember that great day of Pentecost from Acts 2, the beginning of a major change. Father, may we reverence you. May we thank you. And Father, may we endeavor to live our lives as children of the Most High God, knowing who we are and what we have, and knowing that it's all by grace. And may we, with love in our hearts, love one another, our brothers and sisters. And may we reach out to those who may be praying for some answers, may want to know some truth. Thank you for this wonderful day, for the folks here and the folks on the phone line. And I thank you, Father, again, for your great, wonderful, free gift of Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this teaching, I'll be posting it a little later this afternoon on the website, confidenceandjoy.com, if you're interested in accessing it or sharing it with someone else. And unless the Lord returns, we'll be back here again next Sunday here in this house and also on the phone line. For those of you on the phone, thanks so much for joining us. For those of us here, we're going to have a picnic and enjoy hanging out with our brothers and sisters.